الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were reading the point number 17, which the author she mentioned حفظها الله تعالى with regards to تربيتي الأولاد, with regards to the advice and the direction for cultivating and raising and teaching and disciplining the children. And in this particular point, she is mentioning that the sister must have concern with learning the Quran and studying the Quran and memorizing the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise teaching her child as well the Quran and helping her child also to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have concern and diligence and time for the Quran daily. Her with her children. And then she mentioned a number of narrations clarifying the virtue of the people who learn the Quran and those who learn how to recite it properly, and they busy themselves with the recitation of the book of Allah in the daytime and the nighttime, and likewise they learn the rulings that are found therein and they strive to implement them in their lives. And then likewise the level higher than that, those who teach the Quran, teaching others after they have learned how to recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then likewise the highest and best aspect is to teach the people how to understand the rulings and the legislation and the law and how to follow that and to abide by that. And she mentioned the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu, which is very famous in this affair in Sahih Bukhari, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمِ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, the best of you are those who learn the Quran and then teach it to others. And likewise we have seen some of the narrations that she mentioned with regards to the virtue of reciting the Quran and what is intended by reciting the Quran, reciting its letters and learning how to pronounce it properly, but most importantly learning how to follow it, because the one who learns how to recite the Quran properly, outwardly, with the most beautiful voice, even if he learned all of the rules of tajweed, but then he opposed it in his creed or in his conduct, in his manners, his statement and action and deed, then that recitation will not benefit him. Rather, it will be a proof against him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that al-Quranu hujjatun laka aw alayka, that the Quran is a proof for you or against you. And we have seen likewise the encouragement to specifically recite az-Zahrawain, those two noble verses that are described as being full of light and great benefit, and even more specifically the surah from the two of them, al-Baqarah, and in these two chapters, meaning Surah al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran, and even more specifically the encouragement to recite Surah al-Baqarah, وَأَنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةٌ وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرًا وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةُ, and that the one who takes to this recitation, reciting it and following it and learning it and studying this chapter, the chapter of al-Baqarah, then it will be great blessing for him, and the one who turns away from that, then it would be a means of regret and a means of remorse for them. And as for the magicians, then they have no way to harm the one who recites, learns, the one who learns and recites and implements that which is found from benefit in Surah Al-Baqarah. So this is where we have left off in our previous class in the summarization. And she says now, أحاديث متفرقة في فضل القرآن وأهله. أحاديث متفرقة في فضل القرآن وأهله. Now she just mentions a number of different narrations that clarify the virtue of the Quran and its people. The virtue of the Quran and its people. And we have seen also in our previous class as well that the people of the Quran, they are those who used to implement and follow the Quran. And one would not be considered from the people of the Quran simply by learning how to recite it, or learning the principles of at-tajweed, or learning how to beautify one's voice in the recitation of the Quran, but rather those who are truly from the people of the Quran, they are those who learn the meanings and the law that is found therein, and they apply that and they abide by that and they live upon that in their life, in public and in private. And if along with that they are able to recite it in a beautiful manner, likewise, and this is light upon light, But the whole point and the intent from the revelation is that the book of Allah Azza wa Jal should be understood and pondered upon and reflected upon and believed in. And believe that it's the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and guidance for mankind, and then be followed. And then be followed and taken as a guide. And taken as a guide in this manner, it will be great benefit. So now she mentions a number of different narrations with regards to the virtue of the Qur'an and the virtue of the people of the Qur'an. She says, in Aisha radiallahu anha, annaha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mahiru bil-Qur'ani ma'a s-safarati al-kiram al-barara, wal-ladhi yakra'u al-Qur'ana wa yatata'ta'u fihi, wa huwa alayhi shaq, lahu ajran. Rawahu Shaykhan. So she mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. And she says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mahir bil-Qur'ani ma'a s-safarati al-kiram al-barara, that the one who is well versed and experienced with the Qur'an, the one who is mahir, yani the one who is mutqin, the one who has learned it and memorized it precisely, and he's able to recite it fluently, and he's able to continue the recitation without any difficulty and without any hardship, whether his recitation is very crisp and very clean and in a steady manner because of how strong the memorization is. Al-mahir bil-Qur'ani ma'a safarati al-kiram al-barara. This type of person here, the one who is highly fluent and precise in the memorization and the recitation of the Qur'an, he will be along with as-safara al-kiram al-barara. This is in reference to the angels, and they're being described with a number of different traits. As-safara, yani al-rusul, al-rusul, al-kiram, yani the noble and dignified, al-barara, and righteous. So therefore, the one who recites the Qur'an in this manner, fluently, with the strong recitation, then they will be in the company of the righteous and the noble angels. They will be in the company of the righteous and the noble angels. And this is also an indication of the one who is truly mahir, and the one who is truly reciting the Qur'an properly, fluently, that also their etiquettes and their manners and their conducts will be lawful, like the etiquettes and manners and conduct of the angels, that their etiquettes and manners and conduct will be lofty and in a high rank and status like these noble angels. And this is the one who is truly reciting it fluently and reciting it with precision and properly. So therefore, he will have this high rank. He will have this high rank with Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise in this life as well, by having that noble conduct and upright and lofty manners. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this narration, وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقَ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And the one who recites the Qur'an and he stutters in its recitation and it's difficult for him, then he will have two rewards. Then he will have two rewards. And an encouragement that even those who are learning the Qur'an and even having difficulty in that learning and in those studies, and it's hard for them to pronounce some of the words or the letters specifically in the beginning, specifically for the non-Arab, for example, that they should not despair. Rather, they should continue to strive and be sincere and seek their reward from Allah and learn the book of Allah with sincere faith and be truthful in that seeking of knowledge and learning of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal with belief, with iman, with sincerity, with trust and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, and to bear that hardship. And they have two rewards, mainly because of the effort that they're giving, the effort that they're giving and the hardship that they're going through. Because of the effort that they're giving and the hardship that they're going through. So sometimes this will be a case. Maybe a person, he'll not reach that lofty level. And he no doubt, definitely in the beginning learning the Qur'an, especially for those from this land, it's a hardship and a difficulty. And there are letters in the Arabic language that are not found in the English language. And to pronounce them properly requires effort. Maybe a person will learn the Arabic alphabet and the proper mode of pronunciation of these words, and then after class their face will hurt and their lips will hurt because of moving the mouth in a manner that a person he's not accustomed to and going through hardship and difficulty. Or one will begin to recite and the teacher will stop them as soon as they start, and then they'll start again and they'll be stopped again as soon as they start, and they think that they have a good recitation, and then whenever they recite to the teacher, who is well versed and able to identify the most minor mistakes, they'll be stopped
immediately, or after one or two times, or even in one lesson, maybe they'll be stopped a number of times because they're not pronouncing it properly. So all of this requires effort and diligence. But the one who is sincere, they'll have a great reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is with those who strive and work in His path. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Indeed, those who strive in our obedience, then indeed we will guide them to our ways. Meaning it will be facilitated. It will be facilitated. So there is a glad tidings here for those who are proficient in the Quran, and likewise those who are not proficient. Both of them, they have a promise of great reward and a high and lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But although the one who stutters, he has two rewards, no doubt the one who is proficient, his reward is greater and his status is more lofty and high. After this, the author, she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ مَثَلُ الْأُتْرُجَّةِ رِيحُهَا طَيِّبٌ وَطَعْمُهَا طَيِّبٌ وَمَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ مَثَلُ التَّمْرَةِ لَا رِيحَ لَهَا وطعمها حلو لا ريح لها وطعمها حلو. Here we see that there is a misprint in some of the harakat on this narration in the book that we're reading from, and from that it says مثلي and it should be مثلو. So مثل المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن, the parable and the example of the believer who recites the Quran. يقرأ القرآن, and it's in the form of مضارع. So this is a form that indicates present tense and also a continuation. So what is intended here, the one يقرأ القرآن, meaning it's from his manners, it's from his daily life, and it's something that he does often and he repeats, not just reading one time. Rather, this is his way of life. مثل المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن يعني الذي يتعلم القرآن ويقرأه ويعمل به. And it has come in some wordings like this. And one wording in Sahih Bukhari, مثل المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن ويعمل به. ويعمل به, the example of the believer who recites the Quran and he applies it. مثل الأترجة. Here the كسرة on this method here is wrong. مثل الأترجة is the example of the al-utrujja. Al-utrujja is the citron. Rihuha tayyibun wa ta'muha tayyib. Its scent is pleasant and likewise its taste is pleasant. This is the example of the believer who recites the Book of Allah often, and it's from his manners to be concerned with reciting the Book of Allah. And he recites it and applies it. It's the example of the citron. The scent is pleasant and likewise the taste is pleasant. And then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, ومثل المؤمن الذي لا يقرأ القرآن مثل التمرة لا ريح لها وطعمها حلو. And the example of the believer that doesn't recite the Quran, likewise similarly in Sahih Bukhari, another wording, ويعمل به, the example of the believer that doesn't recite the Quran and applies it, and he applies that and applies it in their life, مثلو. Here the كسرة on this method is wrong likewise. مثلو التمرة is the example of the date. لا ريح لها وطعمها حلو. It has no scent, but its taste is sweet. Its taste is sweet. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is striking an example. The example of a believer. The example of a believer. The one who recites the Quran and applies it in their life and applies it in their life, then is the example of the citron. And the citron is a fruit that is well known, and it has a delightful scent and likewise a delightful taste, and also it has many benefits, and it's nice, it has a nice size, and it's yellow and delightful to see. And the color yellow was from those colors that are delightful to look at. And likewise, it has a soft feel. So the people of knowledge have mentioned that the citron, it has many great benefits, health benefits, and the likes. And this is the example. And this is the example of the believer who recites the Quran. يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ, what is intended, يَتَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَقْرَأُهُ كَثِيرًا وَيَعْمَلُ بِهِ. the one who recites the Quran, meaning the one who learns the Quran, learns how to recite the Quran, learns how to follow the Quran, meaning someone who is a student of the Quran. They're busy and engaged with learning the Quran, how to recite it and how to follow it, and they implement what they know, then their example is of the citron, and that the scent is delightful, and likewise the taste. And the people of Nar, as I mentioned, that the scent is the parable with regards to the recitation. The recitation is something that is heard and the people are aware of and they benefit from. Just like the scent of the citron is something that the people that come around, they will smell it and they will take delight and benefit from that. As for the taste is with regards to the faith and the heart. And the taste is something that is inward. Just like the foundation of the Iman lies in the heart and something that is not necessarily seen for everyone. For everyone. So this is the example of this affair. And then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the parable of the believer that doesn't recite the Quran. لَكِنَّهُ يَعْمَلُ بِهِ. He doesn't recite the Quran, meaning لا يتعلم القرآن, meaning he's not somebody who learns the Quran. It's not from his daily affair to be studying the Quran. He doesn't learn how to recite the Quran or give great concern with the rules of tajweed and the mode of recitation and the likes like this. But he applies any of the rulings. And he's a believer. He's a believer. The example of this person here is like the tamra. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said. And this is because, any the date, and this is because لا ريح لها وطعمها حل, and it has no scent. The date, it has no scent, but whenever you taste it, it's sweet. So likewise, the believer who doesn't learn how to recite the Quran, and there's no apparent benefit outwardly, no beautiful scent, and no recitation that the people benefit from, but as for inside the heart, no doubt the believer has a sweet heart. The believer has a sweetheart. Yani, so therefore, he has the sweetness of faith in his heart. So no doubt he still has great benefit. But the point now is to see the virtue of those believers who show care and concern with learning the Quran over those who do not. Over those who do not. They have benefit for themselves and for others. They have benefit for themselves and for others. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَثَلُ الْمُنَافِقِ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ كَمَثَلِ الرِّحَانَ رِيحُهَا طَيِّبٌ وَطَعْمُهَا مُرٌّ وَمَثَلُ الْمُنَافِقِ الَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ كَمَثَلِ الْحَنْظَلَةِ لَيْسَ لَهَا رِيحٌ وَطَعْمُهَا مُرٌّ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he struck two more examples. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the example or the parable of the hypocrite, the one who reads the Quran, the hypocrite, the one who reads the Quran, and he learns the Quran and learns how to recite it, but he's not truthful or sincere in that. Waliyadu billah is the example of the rayhana, which is the sweet basil. That the scent is beautiful, but the taste is bitter. The scent is beautiful, but the taste is bitter. And this is the case with the munafiq. Maybe one of them will recite the Quran precisely in a beautiful manner, but inside their heart is bitter and foul. And they are not sincere and truthful, and they're not searching for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla at all, whether their hearts are attached to the worldly life. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they have deceived the people by displaying this beautiful recitation outwardly, while inside they have ulterior motives. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the example of them. Like the rayhana that has a beautiful scent that you smell it and it's nice, but if you taste it, it's bitter and it's not sweet and it's no good. وَمَثَلُ الْمُنَافِقَ الَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. And the example of the hypocrite that does not recite the Qur'an, كَمَثَلِ الْحَنْظَلَةِ لَيْسَ لَهَا رِيحٌ وَطَعْمُهَا مُرٌّ, is the example of the hanzala. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned the hanzala is the colocynth. Yani is another name for it is a desert gourd. And it is a plant? It is a plant that grows on the ground, just like the rayhana is a plant, and it grows on the ground. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the munafiq that doesn't recite the Quran and he doesn't learn or read the Quran is like that of this colocynth, yani the desert gourd, the hanzala, that it has no scent and its taste. And its taste is bitter. And its taste is bitter. It has no scent, and its taste is bitter. So this is the example of this affair. So there are a number of benefits in this narration. We see that the believer has been, the parable of the believer is that of these fruits that are lofty and high and growing in trees. And the example of the hypocrite are of these plants that grow on the ground. And then likewise, along with that, the example is that of a believer himself, and likewise of the hypocrite himself. But in reality, what is intended are the actions. And the actions, they're the fruit and the result of the souls of mankind and their hearts. That which the heart produces and the soul produces is displayed in the actions. So the reality of a person is made known in his speech and his actions. So the speech and the actions are the real fruit, clarifying the life of a person and who he really is, and that which is in his heart and soul, and that which is in their heart and soul. So although the example is with the believer himself or the hypocrite himself, what is intended from that is the reality of that person, meaning the actions. And these actions here of the believer in both cases are resembled to fruits that are high and lofty, that are found high and lofty in the trees, and an indication to the actions of the righteous and the actions of the believers that they're high and lofty and they're raised. And likewise, that these fruits, they continue to flourish so long as the tree is flourishing and strong. And like that, the actions and the good deeds of a believer continue to flourish so long as their faith is cultivated and nourished and kept good and strong. As for the example of the hypocrites, any of their actions, it's like that of these plants that grow on the ground. Even if one of them may have a pleasant scent, whenever one comes close and finds the reality of that, it's very bitter. And the other one, he has no scent, and the taste is very bitter. An indication that their actions are lowly and they're base, and they do not leave the earth. Any meaning that they are from those who cling to the earth, and they have been lost in this manner, and their actions are not raised, nor are they lifted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a beautiful example to clarify the virtue of the Quran and those who have concern with learning the Quran, learning how to recite it, learning how to read it, and then likewise learning how to understand it, and learning how to ponder and reflect upon it in order to learn how to apply it. It has been narrated from Al-Hassan Al-Basri, and likewise, similarly as well, from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, that they have said, إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُتَدَبَّرَ وَلِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسِ تِلَاوَتَهُ عَمَلَهُ. That the Qur'an was only revealed so that it could be reflected upon and pondered over and then implemented and applied. But the people, they have taken the recitation simply, the simple recitation, as its application, meaning they have sufficed with that. This is in the time of Al-Hassan al-Basri. He died in the year 110 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Al-Fudayl, he died in 187. And he from the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een. So if that's the case, then how about now? No doubt now we find many people, they suffice with the recitation of the Qur'an, and they have no care or concern with learning the meanings or the laws that are found therein, and thus they do not follow it properly. So therefore they will not truly be able to benefit from the Qur'an. And this is what is indicated here in the next narration that the author, she mentions, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَنْ أُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ. She mentions here that it has been narrated from Umar رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, indeed Allah, he raises by way of this book a group of people and he lowers others. And he lowers others, meaning by way of this book. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. The previous two narrations he mentioned, Rawahu Shaykhan, and he narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This one is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Actually, in this narration, there's a reason why Umar, he mentioned this, radiyallahu anhu. And the people of knowledge, they say, Ashayu bishay yudhkar. that any one thing sometimes leads to the mention of something else. So sometimes a person, he will not remember something until someone mentions something else, or another issue is brought up, and at that time a person, he will remember another issue that's related to that. So that's how this narration came. That's how Umar radiallahu anhu, he recalled this narration and he mentioned it in this manner. And it has been narrated by Imam Muslim, as she mentioned, from the hadith of Nafi' ibn Abd al-Harith radiallahu anhu. And he was from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he left Nafi' in charge of Mecca. Yani he was the emir and the commander in Mecca on behalf of Umar radiallahu anhu. And then it was some time that Umar, he was in a place called Usfan. And Usfan is a place that is between Mecca and Medina. And then while he's there, he seen Nafi' ibn Abd al-Harith radiallahu anhuma. So whenever he seen him, he said, Man istakhlafta ala al-wadi, ala ahli al-wadi. He said, who did you leave in charge over the people of Mecca? He said, I left you, meaning I left you in charge of Mecca. Here you are with me. Who did you leave in charge in your place over the people of Mecca? And Nafi', he said, radiallahu anhu, ibn Abza, istakhlaftu ibn Abza. He said, I left Ibn Abza, yani in place of them. His name is Abdurrahman Ibn Abza, radiallahu anhu. Likewise, he was from the companions, but maybe he was not so well known. So whenever Umar, he heard this, radiallahu anhu, he said, well, man Ibn Abza? And who was Ibn Abza? And Nafi, he said, Mawlan min Muwalina. He said, he's a freed slave from our slaves. He's a freed slave from our slaves. And so Umar at this time, he was amazed. He said, you left in charge of Mecca a freed slave? And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, innahu qari'un wa 'alimun bil fara'id qadhin. He said, indeed, O leader of the believers, he is somebody who he's the reciter of the Quran, meaning he's somebody who has memorized the Quran. And he is well-versed and knowledgeable with regards to the obligations of Al-Islam. And he is a judge, someone who rules with truth according to the Quran and the Sunnah. So now at this time, after hearing this, and he's somebody who used to be a freed slave, somebody who used to be a slave from the lowest members of society, and then he was freed, and even then still considered not having a lofty lineage, or even maybe in the eyes of many not to have a high place in society. But those who have knowledge, their knowledge raises them. And this is the point of the narration. Umar, whenever he heard this, that now this man who was a slave, he's in charge of Mecca. He's in charge of Mecca. Allahu Akbar. And he said this narration now, أَمَا وَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ نَبِيَكُمْ أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي سَمِعْتُ نَبِيَكُمْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. That indeed, verily I heard your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that indeed Allah, he will raise by way of this book a group of people, and others he will lower them by way of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace and His mercy to make us and our family and our loved ones from those whom He raises by way of His book and by way of the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a great virtue, but likewise something that one should be cautious from as well, because also others, they are lowered by the book. The book will be a means to lower them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And from the worst of that are those who disbelieve in the book, or those who believe in it but they oppose it and do not follow it. And then in the end, the Quran is nothing but a proof against them. Nothing but a proof against them. So there's a glad tidings here, and likewise a warning. And likewise a warning and an admonition. After this, she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma anuhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقال لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلتك عند آخر آية تقرأ بها. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والترمذي وهو حديث حسن. So she mentions now the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنهما, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ, it will be said to the person of the Qur'an. We have seen who he is. And he meaning on the day of resurrection and the hereafter. اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا. Read and recite and raise and elevate in levels and recite in the beautiful mode and manner that you used to recite in the worldly life. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُ بِهَا. Because indeed your level and rank in the hereafter, meaning in the paradise, will be at the last verse that you recite. At the last verse that you recite. So these are all great encouragements to be from the people of the Qur'an, to be from those who learn how to recite the Qur'an, to be from those who truly recite the Qur'an and follow it and implement it in their life and take it as a means of guidance and hold fast to the law and legislation that is found therein. She says this is narrated by Ahmed and Abu Dawood and at-Tirmidhi, and it's a hadith that is hasan, meaning it's good and authentic. It is good and authentic. And she mentions now, when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, annahu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la hasada illa fi ithnatayni, rajulun nataahu Allah al-Qur'an, fahuwa yatluuhu ana'a al-layli wa ana'a al-nahar, wa rajulun ataahu Allah malan, فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُهُ أَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَنَاءَ النَّهَارِ رُوَاهُ شَيْخَانِ. So she mentions now the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا حَسَدَ إِلَّا فِي اثْنَتَيْنِ, that there is no hasad except for in two. Except for in two. In general, the word al-hasad, what does it mean? It means envy and jealousy. And envy and jealousy is praiseworthy and is not good in any circumstance, in any case. The exception that is being made here is not necessarily with envy and jealousy. The people of knowledge, they have interpreted this word al-hasad in this hadith here to mean al-ghibta, and this is what she's referring to in the footnote here. Yani la, she says ay la ghibta, la ghibta. Well, ghibta is from al-iqtibat, and yani al-iqtibat is to be very happy and to rejoice about something. To be very happy and to rejoice about something. So al-ghibta, what it means is that a person, he will see somebody with a virtue and he will be pleased and happy with that, and he will like to have the same thing. He will like to have the same thing. And he has no hard feelings in his heart to see somebody who's reciting the Qur'an in the most beautiful manner and to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma barik. I would love to recite the Qur'an like him and to be happy and pleased for that person. And the likes, and to have no hard feelings, but to wish to be able to do the good that somebody else is doing without having any hard feelings whatsoever. This is called ghibta, and this is something that is allowed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this is allowed. That hasad, any la ghibta, except for in two affairs. So there's no hasad. What is intended here is not hasad, not having jealousy, not having envy. Because al-hasad is whenever a person dislikes others having blessing and goodness. This is the definition in general of hasad. The most encompassing definition, kirahiyatu ni'ma al-ghayr, to dislike to see somebody else in a blessing. This is called hasad and jealousy. To dislike to see blessings and others in a good state, whether in the worldly life or in the religion. Whether in the worldly life or in knowledge or in the religion, they dislike to see blessing and goodness with others. Whenever they see other in a good state in their religion, memorizing Quran or memorizing hadith or benefiting from this or that, or their children are upon a good path, or they have lots of money, or they got a new vehicle, or their child got married to a righteous woman, or so on and so forth, they don't like that. They don't like that. It bothers their hearts. And they become jealous and envious about this affair. And the likes like this, to simply dislike the blessings of others, that's called hasad. And worse than that is they wish that the blessing would be taken from that person. And worse than that, to wish that it would be taken from that person and then move to them instead. And worse than all of that is to act in removing that blessing from that person. All of this is called al-hasad. But what is intended here? Again, al-ghibta. Al-ghibta. La hasada illa fi ithnatayn. That no one should have this type of ghibta, any of this hope to have the likes of this, except for in two affairs. A person whom Allah has given him the Qur'an. A person whom Allah has given him the Qur'an. And he blessed him with blessed him and given him the success to learn the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he recites it all night and all day. And he recites it all night and all day. And likewise, in another wording, in Bukhari and Muslim, فَهُوَ يَقُومُ بِهِ أَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَنَاءَ النَّهَارِ وَيَتَّبِعُ مَا فِيهِ وَيَتَّبِعُ مَا فِيهِ. Then another wording, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he establishes, meaning he's reciting it all night and all day. He's reciting it all night and all day, and he is following that which is found therein. and he is following that which is found therein. So this one here, if a person, he's seen somebody who is reciting the Quran often, reciting it and having great care with learning it and reciting it and following it. A person, he sees someone like this, he would love to be like that. He would love to be like that, and he will be happy for that person likewise and have no hard feelings, but he will want to follow the likes of that person and be like them. Be like those who are reciting the Quran in the daytime and the nighttime, and also it is apparent from them that they follow it likewise, that they follow it as well, that they follow it as well. So the second person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, وَرَجُلٌ أَتَّهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا, and a person that Allah has given wealth, فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُهُ أَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَنَاءَ النَّهَارِ, and he spends it every night, all night and all day, all night and all day. يعني in some wordings, وَهُوَ يُسَلِّطُهُ عَلَى هَلَكَتِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that he spends up his wealth, all of it, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So likewise, this is someone that a person he would like to be like. If he's seen somebody who is wealthy, that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed him with great wealth, and they spend that wealth in the path of Allah, aiding the masajid of the people of the sunnah, aiding the du'at of the people of the sunnah, aiding the dawah, a dawah salafiyah, putting their money in the proper places, helping the poor, the orphans, and helping those who are in need, and so on and so forth. And he's spending their money and all of the avenues that is praiseworthy and beneficial, and it means to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. A person is seeing that, he would love himself to be like that person. He would say to himself, if I had money like that, I would spend my money like that. If I had money like that, I would send my money to this country and that country where the students of knowledge are poor and are needy, and I would support this person and that person, and I would give to this charity and that charity, and I would pay for the electricity bill for a year in the masjid, and I would do this and I would do that. And they would have the same ideas and the same thoughts, and they would love to be like that, along with having no hard feelings for that person whatsoever. So this here is allowed. And the point from this narration is to clarify the virtue of knowledge. To clarify the virtue of knowledge, and also along with that we see as well the virtue of the one who is given the blessing of wealth, and also the blessing to spend that wealth properly in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, رواه شيخان, it's narrated by the two sheikhs. By the two sheikhs, يعني البخاري and Muslim. She says, now, وَلَذِي يُحْفَظُ لَبُدَّ مِن تَعَهُدِهِ وَإِلَّا فَسُرْعَانَ مَا يَتَفَلَّتُ. And now, closing this point, she mentions an important note, and that which is memorized, يعني, because she began this point with advising the sister to memorize and to help her child to memorize. So now she says, that which is memorized, and that which is memorized, you must review it. It must be reviewed. It must be reviewed, and one must go over it often and time to time. Must remember to go over it, not just simply to memorize and then move on. Rather, to memorize, and that which is memorized, la budda min ta'ahudihi. Ta'ahud is to have care for it, and to go over it, and to check it, and to review it often. Because if not, she says, then very quickly it will go away. Then very quickly it will slip away. It will slip away. So she says, قال الإمام البخاري حدثنا محمد بن علاء قال حدثنا أبو أسامة عن بريد عن أبي بردة عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال تعاهدوا هذا القرآن فوالذي نفسي بيده فهو أشد تفصيا من الإبل في عقولها. And some wordings likewise, أسرعوا تفصيان, and some other wordings likewise, يعني تفلوتن, تفلوتن. So she mentioned the narration of Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, go over this Quran, review and go over and recite often this Quran, because I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, it is more quick to get loose and to go away than the camels in their ropes that they're tied down with. And the uqul are the ropes that the camels are tied down with. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making another parable and example. And this is the Quran, and the person who recites the Quran is like the camel. It's like the camel. And the camel, it can get away very quickly. And the issue with regards to the camel, they will tie its legs down. They will tie its legs down. But the camel, if it's not checked, if a person just left it there without any without any observance. And the lights like this, it will move around and shake its leg until the rope comes loose. They'll tie it down, but eventually the camel will be able to move enough until it loosens, and if it's left without anyone checking on it, then it will get away quickly before a person even realizes it. So similarly like this, a person, if he does not go over the Quran and review it and check on it often, then before one knows it, it will be loose, and then it will slip away and be gone. It will become loose and slip away and be gone. So the means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clarifying for the memorization to remain and to be firm is to review it often and to go over it and to have care and concern for that. And this is similarly likewise, the one who checks and he looks after his camel and he checks that rope often, then likewise the camel will not get away. But if that camel is not checked and that issue is not reviewed properly, then the camel will get away before a person realizes it. And likewise, the Quran, the portions that are memorized, if a person does not review them and go over them often, then before one realizes it, it will be gone, and he will have to memorize it and learn it again. So this is great advice that she has mentioned here, closing this point here with the order for review. And this is here specifically with regards to the Quran, but likewise the Hadith, and then after that as well the Mutun and the text. If they're not reviewed, they will slip away from the person's mind. And in order to make it firm, what he must repeat requires repetition. And the Salaf, they used to say, تَذَكَرُوا هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَإِنَّ حَيَاتَهُ مُذَكَرَتُهُ, that you must review and go over these narrations, because the life of these narrations, the life of this knowledge, is that one will review it and go over it. That one will review it and go over it. It has been mentioned from Al-Mizzi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 742. Al-Mizzi, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, مِنْ حَازَ الْعِلْمَ وَذَكَرَهُ صَرُحَ دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتُهُ فَأَدِمْ لِلْعِلْمِ مُذَكَرَةً فَحَيَاتُ الْعِلْمِ مُذَكَرَتُهُ. And we close with that. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيَنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ.